This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. I'm Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian, and I have a very special guest joining me today from Michigan, and that's Amanda Zalecki. Amanda, did I get that right? Zalecki? Is that close?
You got it right. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Amanda Zalecki. And Amanda is, her website title is thefarmersdaughterusa.com. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Amanda's background and some of the things that she does in the social media space to try and help people understand more about farming and why she does that. Away we go. Hello, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I have to tell people that if you go to Amanda's website, which is thefarmersdaughterusa.com, the first thing that one of the first things that I noticed, and it's a really nice website, Amanda, is that up popped this picture of this dog, and it says growing up farm dog, and I had to click on it, of course, because it's got a precious little face, and it looks a lot like a dog that we had. And so what's your farm dog's name?
Misha.
And Misha, to me, looks like a mix between a black lab and a pit bull. What do you think?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So we had a dog named Bibi. She passed from lymphoma, but she looked a lot like Misha. So how old is Misha now?
Misha is 11 months old.
Ooh, still puppy, right?
Oh, definitely still puppy.
Is she a chewer? Yeah, does she chew on stuff?
She sticks to her toys, but when you give her like a plushy toy, she tends to think that it's her job to take the squeaker out. It's a game. Yeah, it's a game that lasts not very long. So we go through a lot of toys.
I hear you. We have a dog like that too, who loves squeaky toys, but he loves them to death. And squeak, 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 squeak. And then one day we notice, oh, that's not squeaking anymore. And he's killed the squeaker. So my husband's always like, you're seriously going to buy that dog another squeaky toy? But it brings him so much pleasure. I can't help myself. So
exactly. Even if it's only like 4 minutes.
Exactly. Well, ours is a little bit longer than that. We have one now that plays this little song. It's like, and it's, I think you step on it in the middle of the night when you're getting up to get water, scares you to death, right? Has that ever happened to you?
Thankfully, no, but I can only imagine.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about your background. So obviously there's a meaning for your website being called The Farmer's Daughter USA. So tell us a little bit about growing up and what kind of farm you grew up on.
Yeah, so my parents and my grandparents were farmers in Southwest Michigan. Growing up, we actually did mostly fruit and vegetables, and we had our own little roadside stand where we sold all of the fruit and vegetables from our farm directly to the public. We ended up, we'd occasionally get some things that we didn't grow, like blueberries or peaches, and we'd also sell those there. So my job growing up was to be the lead salesperson at the roadside stand. Okay. So I spent pretty much every day out there selling produce. And then after I went to law school and my other brother went to college, it was just my mom and dad and my other brother still on the farm. So they kind of transitioned to just doing corn and soybeans because it's a little less labor intensive.
Sure.
I always say they had to do that because the free labor pool dried up.
So you were the free labor pool, right?
Exactly.
So do they call in agricultural terminology, when you're growing things like fruits and vegetables, or maybe it's just vegetables, are those called specialty crops? Is that right?
Specialty crops. Yep.
And then how do you, what's the terminology for growing things like canola and field corn and soy? Are those called just row crops or what do you?
Yeah, commodity crops.
Commodity crops. Okay.
Row crops.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Are your parents still farming today, or?
Yep, my parents and then my brother, they farm about, I think we're up to 2,200 acres now.
Wow.
Of corn and soybeans. Yep.
And are those, is a type of corn that they're growing field corn, or is it sweet corn like corn on the cob?
Nope, it's all field corn. That would be quite a lot of sweet corn.
Yeah, that would be a lot. Yeah. Can you, I know a lot of people don't, who may be listening, don't always know that there is a big difference between like field corn and sweet corn. Can you explain to the listeners what is the difference?
Yeah, so sweet corn is specifically grown and bled so that it's easy to eat and it tastes good.
Okay.
So you're usually going to be picking that by hand. It doesn't take as long to grow. And, you know, when you're eating it, we always sold like the super sweet varieties. So they taste really good. They can be cooked up. Field corn is a lot different. It's actually, pretty tough and you would not want to eat it. I know my grandma has tried to boil some and eat it off the cob, and it's just not very good. So we use that more for animal feed or ethanol, those types of things.
And are the crops that your father and your brother are growing, are they genetically engineered varieties, or are some of them, or all of them, are they organic?
I think this year all of our the varieties that we chose are genetically engineered.
Okay. And why did they make – well, we only have about a minute left, so maybe we'll attack this question in the next segment. I want to make sure we mention again that Amanda's website is called The Farmer's Daughter USA. So that's her perspective as somebody who's grown up on a farm and whose family, her father, as she was saying, and her brother still farm. And you can also find Amanda has a blog. And I've been a subject of one of your blogs, right, Amanda?
You have been, yeah, in my Chat, Cultivate, and Connect series, which I try to interview people involved in food that aren't farmers.
That's
so
great.
Some different perspectives.
And then you can find Amanda. She pops up on Twitter as well. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Hour while you're talking with Amanda Zalecki, The Farmer's Daughter USA. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Hour. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingalls dietitian. I'm talking to kind of a virtual friend of mine, but I've met her in real life. Her name is Amanda Zalecki, and she goes by, her Twitter handle is it Farmer's Daughter USA? That's the Twitter handle, right?
Farm Daughter USA.
Farm Daughter USA. Okay, Farm Daughter USA. And her website is The Farmer's Daughter USA. She also has a blog. And Amanda, we were talking in the first segment about the fact that you grew up on a farm and your father and your brother still farm. And they are this year at least growing some crops that are genetically engineered. How did you get into this space, being an attorney, of wanting to talk to consumers about farming and agriculture? Why did you get in that space, and why is it important to you?
Yeah, so I think when you're raised on a farm, it becomes a very personal part of you, and it never goes away. When I got out of law school, I had a couple weeks before I started really studying for the bar. So I, you know, I was on social media and hadn't been able to do too much of that during law school. But back on social media, I was interacting with my friends, and I kind of had a sense that people were, they were afraid of their food, which was just very odd to me. They felt like they had to purchase a certain brand, it had to have a certain label, it could contain certain ingredients. Otherwise, they were just afraid that it was going to do something bad to them. And this was just really baffling to me. You know, I grew up with fruits and vegetables on our farm, and I literally could walk into the backyard, pick a tomato, and I don't even think I would brush it off. I would just chomp into it.
Right.
And I never thought about, oh, when was the last time this was sprayed? Is this going to be safe for me to eat? Am I going to be okay if I eat this? And it was kind of sad to me that, you know, my friends were feeling this fear about what they were eating. So I started the blog because I just wanted to address some of those fears, some of the myths that were out there, and let people know that modern agriculture is not mean and scary, and it's not poisoning everybody.
So, you know, I'm going to throw at you some of the myths I hear as a supermarket dietitian, and sort of just get your reaction and hear if you say these things, you're hearing these things as well, because I would totally agree with you, Amanda, that I find that even more so lately, maybe even in the past 6 to 8 years, that I'm hearing more of our shoppers and consumers express concerns about food that I think are totally unfounded. And so here are some of the things that I hear, and I just want to hear how you would address this. So mm-hmm. I hear from consumers that farmers drench or soak their crops with pesticides, and that's why we need to buy organic fruits and vegetables. What would you say to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, that's just absolutely not true.
Right.
We're not dousing anything in chemicals, and, you know, I mean, the reality is we eat the exact same food that we're selling, so we're not going to douse that food and pesticides and then eat it ourselves. But also there's strict regulations about how much we can apply to any particular crop, when we can apply it to that crop, so we're not going to be applying it, you know, right before we harvest. And also that, you know, the spray is expensive. So if we can find ways to not use it, we're definitely going to do that. I actually have an article coming up that I wrote exactly on this topic. And one of the things that we've done on our farm, we now use genetically modified crops that have the BT trait. And that has completely eliminated our use of insecticide on our field corn. So, you know, that was a way for us to completely just get rid of that entirely. And when we can find ways to do that, we're doing that. So we're definitely not dousing any crops in pesticides.
And one of the things I would add is that a lot of times people believe that organic farmers are not using pesticides, and that is not true. I mean, there are many pesticides that organic farmers can use if they need to. So organic does not automatically mean pesticide free. So that's, and Amanda, I feel like probably about once a week, I have to tell somebody that, and they're always surprised. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it's true that organic farmers use pesticides. My brother, at one point was interning at a chemical sales place, and he said, I see more organic farmers than I do conventional farmers. I think it's important for people to understand that either way, whether it's organic or conventional, the application of these pesticides is regulated. We're going to be careful with it because we're also eating that produce. And, you know, nobody wants to be spending exorbitant amounts of money spraying something, especially if it's just not going to accomplish anything.
Well, and what I'd say too to people, I mean, I had this question the other day, and when I explained this to the person, the woman, and she was kind of shocked, and I said, you know, look, the bottom line is you don't have to worry about pests. If you're thinking that there's these high amounts of pesticide residues on your fruits and vegetables, it's not the case. There's a great website called safefruitsandveggies.com mm-hmm. that has a pesticide calculator, and you can put in, you know, if you're a man, woman, child, and the type of fruit or vegetable, and it can tell you, you know, how many servings a day you would have to eat to get any kind of pesticide residue, and it's exorbitant amounts of food. It's huge. So that's the first thing. And the other thing I say is whether you're buying organic, local, whatever produce you're buying, you need to wash it. So, you right. know, you just don't, you know, you don't, and if for no other reason than if it's being sold at a farmer's market or tailgate market or the supermarket, you don't know whose hands have been on it. So just wash it.
Exactly.
And that's a good, that's a good way to keep your food safe. In the next segment, we're going to be talking more about some of these food myths that I've heard as a supermarket dietitian. And Amanda Zalecki, the Farmer's Daughter USA at thefarmersdaughterusa.com, is going to be helping debunk some of those myths. And you can connect with Amanda at thefarmdaughterusa.com on Twitter, right? Is that right? Farm Daughter USA?
Yeah.
Okay, on Twitter.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to the English Information Aisle. Welcome back to the English Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your English dietitian. I'm talking with Amanda Zalecki. Amanda is a farmer's daughter, and that's what her website is called as well. It's thefarmersdaughterusa.com. And Amanda works hard to bust myths about farming and agriculture from her perspective, which is as a daughter of a farmer and the sister of a farmer. And so we've been talking about some of the myths. And here's another one that I hear, Amanda. I hear, well, you know, conventional farmers, they don't care about the soil quality or the water quality. And they're just, you know, the soil quality is so bad because of what they do on the farms, and the water quality is bad, and they don't care about the pollinators like bees and butterflies, and they're just doing terrible things to the environment. How would you respond to something like that?
Yeah, this accusation always just kind of breaks my heart because, you know, our family, my brother is the third generation on our family farm, and I know that it's his hope that one day he gets to pass on the farm to somebody else in our family as well. And, you know, in order for that to happen, we have to take care of the land. We have to take care of the water. There's only so much land out there. And if we're poisoning it, if we're ruining it, if we're not taking care of it, we're just not going to be successful very long for ourselves. But then we're not going to be able to pass it on to somebody else in our family. And I really think that that's the legacy of family farms, that we are taking care of, you know, all these environmental factors, the soil, the water, et cetera, because we want it to stay in our family.
So, and I know that, I mean, I know from talking to other farmers that part of what they do is they test soil quality and they test water quality, and that's how they're able to adjust, you know, the nutrients that are being put into the soil. The other thing that I don't think people are always aware of is some of the things farmers do to protect soil, like cover crops and not tilling. Can you explain just real briefly in a couple sentences what a cover crop is and why those are important? And what about tilling the soil? Explain to people what that is and why that's not always a good thing.
Well, you said a couple of sentences. I think we could probably have this discussion and several segments. So cover crops are crops that we put down into the field when we don't have one of our commodity crops in the field. And it's just meant to, stop the erosion that might happen in the field, just kind of protect the soil and keep it healthy over the winter, usually.
Okay.
And then as far as tilling goes, you know, especially with genetically modified crops, we've been able to actually avoid tilling as much as possible. And basically, we just leave the residue from the prior year's crop in the field, and we go ahead and plant right into that residue for our new crop. And again, this just protects the soil so that, you know, it's not being eroded from either wind or water. And that residue is able to deteriorate into the soil, and so all the nutrients are kept right there on the top.
Okay. Well, we have a couple minutes left. I want to make sure we get to some advice for our listeners. If people have questions about farming practices and agriculture and different crops, are there some go-to resources that you like to point people to? I mean, of course, we want them to check out your blog and your page, and I know that you're very open to answering questions, but are there some other places that you like to point people?
Yeah, so I think the first place that I would suggest people go is to farmers. you know, if you can find somebody at a local farmer's market or something like that, that's wonderful, and strike up conversation with them and ask questions. And, you know, if not, there's definitely a lot of farmers now on social media. And if we're on social media, we're more than willing to talk to you and answer questions and talk about what we do on our farms. So I think that's probably the first place that I would suggest people go to ask those questions. And I think another place, you know, that I find really helpful, and I get a lot of questions about genetically modified foods, would be GMOAnswers.com. Okay. And that's just a great place for people to go. There's been lots of people that have asked questions, and so there are lots of things that have been written up. I've written a couple responses to questions myself. And if you can't find the information that you're looking for there, you can always submit a question, and somebody will answer it.
Some other places that I like, and I want to make sure you agree, I think the local cooperative extension agents are often a good resource for people in terms of food questions. Do you think so, too?
Yeah, absolutely. We have Michigan State University has an extension office right in our area, and not only are they helpful for us because we can ask them questions and problem solve with them, but yeah, consumers that have questions could definitely go to them and talk to them.
And then another one that I've become more aware of recently is the Farm Bureau, not like the insurance company, but I think the Farm Bureau also has a lot of great information on their website, and they also have lesson plans for teachers so that they can incorporate agriculture and information about agriculture and farming into lesson plans. Have you ever interacted with Farm Bureau?
Yes, I've been very active with Farm Bureau, both on the local and state level. And I think another good point with that is if somebody really wants to ask a farmer questions, your local county Farm Bureau is definitely a good resource for that. And there's usually plenty of farmers there that are willing to ask those or answer those questions and talk to you about things.
Yeah.
Definitely a place to get lots of different perspectives, too.
Great. Yeah, and I think there's some other places on Twitter and Facebook that I would give a shout-out for. Like, there's Ask the Farmers and Common Ground Now. Those are two that you can a lot of times get questions answered from specific types of farmers. You know, looking for Amanda on Twitter and Facebook as the Farmer's Daughter USA is a good place to look. And, you know, folks, if you are an Ingalls, you know me from Ingalls, and if you have a question about farming or agriculture, you can always write to me through the Ingalls website, ingalls-markets.com, click on dietitian. And if I can't answer your question, I will try and find someone who can and get you that information. But the most important thing that both Amanda and I want you to know is please don't be afraid of your food. We've got some amazing farmers out there in the United States doing amazing things with technology and crops, and we want you to eat healthy, and we don't want you to be afraid of your food. Hey, Amanda, thanks so much for joining us on the Ingalls Information Aisle.
Thank you so much for having me.